Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
In the South, it's always college football season, and the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football, presented by Dr. Pepper and Hooters. Your home to watch all the college game day action with an ice cold Dr. Pepper. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
There's an embarrassing college football resume. Might finally get updated this weekend. Chuck Oliver Show on a Wednesday. How are you today? I hope it's just a glorious day, and I mean that. Where are you? If you're in Mobile, what up, Dad? If you're in Mobile, I wish I was with you, honestly. Lunch at Felix's. Tremendous dinner at Felix's. I don't know, brunch. If you are in Lexington, Ocala, Valdosta. I just appreciate everybody coming here for a little college football combo every day, so thank you all for that. Dan, do my quick math and just say, yeah, Chuck, you got it right. When I say there's an embarrassing CFB resume that might finally get updated in a good way this weekend, the math that I believe I have crossed and dotted, 9 college football seasons, 36 playoff bids as of Sunday. To this point, not one to a school in the state of Texas.
No, you're not wrong.
I don't know how I can be right.
Well, I mean, if it were up to Jimbo, it would have been expanded already.
They have more, what we said, Division I, FBS now. FCS, my gosh, you can't drive 30 miles in the state of Texas without hitting an FCS school. David's behind the glass, nodding his head, going, yep, he knows them all. Prairie View, Sam Houston. All. I'm just talking, like, big time, like the schools that we watch that have never had a playoff until recently. I used to watch, like, Villanova and James Madison on a Friday night, and, I mean, it was great football in the playoffs. I'd watch it. But in Division I, we just had bowl games. FBS, we started having playoffs. And as of about noon 30 Eastern this Sunday, there will have been a total of 36 playoff bids handed out. And if TCU can walk this across the line, and I really believe that's what it is, they can break the champagne bottle on the Lone Star State, getting into the playoffs. We have new playoff rankings. Georgia is 1. Michigan is 2. Texas Christian, USC. I want to bring, and I usually don't bring Dan in the first segment. I got too much to say, and then I get to, like, I don't know, 10, 11, 12 minutes, and I'm on the day. Chuck, go to break. Go to break. Dan, do you care very much about Georgia, Michigan? I was told it was vitally important because if Georgia was 2, and they beat LSU, would that let them, quote, jump Michigan? I don't know if that is a real thing or not. There are a lot of Georgia fans who are concerned about it. Like, we want to be 1 because if they listed us 2, because Michigan's got the best win of the season maybe. Is that a maybe? I don't know. You go into C-Bus and win by 3 touchdowns, that's a pretty good win.
Well, I mean, you also have been around these parts long enough to know that any hint – of a thought that a Northern football team might be better than
disrespect
the guys down here. I mean, you know, they're slow, they're inathletic, all that different types of stuff. So that's more than anything. It would be a pride factor of how dare they think they're number 1 and we're number 2.
And so the play out of that is Michigan's got a 4-loss team in Purdue, and they can beat them. And if Georgia only beats a 3-loss team, well, my goodness, what is that going to be enough to jump? And the reason I didn't buy any of that, and I did see that last night, okay, is that when I say I saw this last night, I saw this after the rankings had been announced. I didn't know this was going on Dog Vent and Dog Nation and, you know, Dog Bone and Dog everything else online. I didn't know. Afterwards, I saw the collective or the, yeah, you better have done that, that Georgia was actually still at one because of the fear that beating LSU would not be overwhelming enough to the committee to, quote, jump Michigan to reverse the 1-2, which I'll give the committee credit for a few things. They really do follow through on their, no, we start with a clean slate every week. So the jumping Michigan thing, it wouldn't have come into play. But and the reason is because both Georgia and Michigan, I believe, I know they have the 13th data point, which is the game. I believe both will win. And I don't know, they both win by 14 to 21 points maybe. Whatever, pick your score. But in a comfortable range, a game control range. What I believe is that when you add the data point of and a conference championship, this conference championship counts more than that conference championship. And I will use the parlance that Dan referred to because in this, the SEC is this one. The Big Ten, that one. And this conference title counts a lot more on your resume than that one. Just how it goes. So if these seeds can hold somewhat, and honestly, I don't much care about Georgia and Michigan and where they are 1-2. They're both going to be in the playoffs, I believe, at this point. The scenario where you see LSU and or Purdue both winning maybe. I said Georgia and Michigan will have game control and win by 14 to 20. That's not how I see it playing out when the Boilermakers wreak havoc on Saturday night. That would be like a 38-37 thing where we're scratching our head going, Jim, why'd you go for two? And so that's, I think Georgia and Michigan, whether they're 1-2 or 3-4, they're in. Southern Cal, I like them. They're on a roll. They figured it out offensively, man. It's humming. And Cam Rising, who, if you don't know Cam Rising, or, oh yeah, I watched the Florida game. That's a tough, I mean, a rough and tumble sort of quarterback, man. I like him a lot. He'll give you the ball some. There have been a couple of nights where it's like, oh, you're an upperclassman. Don't do that. And so I think if you help the USC secondary just a little bit's enough. That's what I believe. So I think it's how it plays out. So Georgia will be 1-2 with Michigan. Maybe they'll be 3-4. Don't know, don't care. The resume that we're looking at to this point, finally getting the update to it, Texas Christian getting a playoff bid, which means finally in a state that has Texas, Texas A&M, Baylor, TCU, Houston, Southern Methodist, Texas Tech, UT San Antonio, North Texas, UTEP, Rice, and Texas State, 12 Division I programs, they will finally have a playoff bid. And for anyone thinking, well, it's really only two or three programs you can talk about as a playoff team, that sort of opinion. It's really only Texas, Texas A&M, and then maybe one more. For anyone thinking it's only Texas and Texas A&M, and then one more we'll just fill in with whoever. TCU and Baylor came the closest of any of the 12, and Houston was probably the most deserving. Independents have made the playoffs. Group of five schools have made the playoffs. But the Pac-12's made the playoffs. The state of Texas hasn't. Get Dave Campbell on. Not the guy we have on. Get Dave on. Is Dave still alive?
I don't believe so.
Oh. Get the guy from Dave Campbell that we always have on. I don't know how it's possible or how it has been possible until Saturday. TCU gets the dub, and it is just a formality to wait about another 24 hours or so and make it official. So that's what I believe is going to happen. I just got a high level of disbelief that this is how it has turned out so far. Now, I think the detail, because the like one of the big issues coming into the this season, last season, won't be next year. It's been same old, same old. They're only expanding it to get different names in. And then you looked up, you're like, oh, now wait a minute, Cincinnati was in. And now you're looking going, TCU and Southern Cal are in. You may now hear the opposite argument. Playoffs didn't seem special without Clemson and Bama there. We have been harping for, I don't know, 3 or 4 years. More teams need to be included. Now we're going to look back and go, why didn't Ohio State in? I liked it better when the Buckeyes were there. So the detail of the four seed will change. There was one part of the four seed big picture that I don't. Have I told y'all I tried out for Jeopardy? Like, literally, I flew out to L.A. I sat in the studio. I tried out for Jeopardy. I don't know. I think my bean works a little well. So I figured let's go out and, you know, win some cash. Went out to California, to L.A., out to Century City, whatever it is, where all the sound studios are. They had 100 people trying out for Jeopardy. And they had this nice, like, reception, sort of like catered event. And I was like looking around. I was like, this is a fancy party. And then I started kind of taking inventory of the folks that I was talking to. And you know that saying, I realized I'm here for a good time, not a long time. Yeah, that was me. And then the tryout started, and it was 100 rapid fire questions that you would see on Jeopardy. There were 100 people there. I might have finished last out of 100. Like, I knew, I was like, I ain't making it out of this crowd. That's been the four seed. The four seed, virtually every season, Ohio State Astros. The four seed, virtually every season, I'm here for a good time, not a long time. I know how this is going to turn out. Cincinnati wasn't going to beat Alabama. Was it Notre Dame? They played Clemson and their corner. I want to say the kid was named Julian Love, and he got injured in the first half, and I heard Notre Dame, you know, after we lost Julian Love, we just had no answer for him. I'm like, really? That was the issue. If I remember, I think that's what it was. Did Michigan State not scratch against Bama 1 year? Was it like 30-0? Folks, I'm here for a good time, not a long time. I'm here to get the gift bag, little swag, say forever and ever have the Cotton Bowl jersey that has College Football Playoff patch stitched on it, because forever and ever I will have that. Oh, you were in the playoffs? Yeah, what happened? We held them to 30. What'd you score? We held them to 30. Yeah, you didn't score, did? No, we didn't score. But we're in the playoffs. Oh, you were the four seed. So that the detail will change. It won't be same old anymore. The big picture, not so much.
Catch the king of college football no matter where you go with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
All week, all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. Saturday, I told you my prediction, TCU will cut the ribbon on the state of Texas and their inclusion finally in the college football play. I don't know how it's been this long. Sunday will be the ninth year, and the 33rd, 34th, 35th, 36th bids will be handed out. To this point, not a single school in the state of Texas has ever been included. I believe that has changed, and what has also changed, the Big 12 Conference. This is not, I don't know, go back DeLorean back about 10 or 12 years when it was Mike Leach, and they're just, you know, even before that, it's been score, 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 and it's, hey, how's Baylor good? Well, they got Robert Griffin. That's not really what the conference is, and TCU's got a salty foe on Saturday, and an opponent who actually had a lead on them the first time, so there is still something to be decided, but I'm confident TCU winds up in the playoffs. I want to welcome on right now from SiriusXM Big 12 Radio. It is Ari Temkin. Ari, how you doing today, brother?
I'm great, Chuck. How are you, buddy?
Doing all right. Give me your preview of Saturday, TCU at the end of 60 minutes. Are they conference champs and undefeated and in the playoffs?
Yeah, that's the question, right? I mean, I think you laid it out pretty well. Pretty remarkable considering expectations for Texas A&M this year. Of course, expectations every year for Texas. For TCU to be the first team to represent the great state of Texas to potentially be the first CFP team in this state, which is extremely football rich, as Georgia is obviously too. Look, I mean, this is a really difficult game to predict. This is, to me, this and the Pac-12 are the two championship games to watch this weekend because not only of the, you know, of the stakes, but of the competition too. K-State had a lead on TCU in Fort Worth. Adrian Martinez got hurt. Will Howard came into the game, played well. He got hurt. Their third-string quarterback at one point came into that game, and his first throw as a former four-star recruit, Jake Rubley, you know, was an interception, first throw of his career. So, you know, I think there are elements of that game, Chuck, that are tough to take away. K-State's a really good team, underrated by the fact that Will Howard has come in and become a game-buster at quarterback for them. And so this is a team that really truly can go toe-to-toe with TCU in terms of explosiveness on offense. So for me, it's extremely tough to predict. I would not be surprised by either team winning this game, but obviously hope that it's TCU. And there's just been a lot said this week, Chuck. I don't know how you feel about this, but like a lot of reputable reporters and writers in college football have said that they think TCU is in regardless. I don't. I'm not a believer in that. I think if the committee has an opportunity to put Ohio State in with one loss, that they'll give Ohio State that out of a one-loss TCU non-Big 12 champion. So I'm not as confident as, you know, Ross Dellinger and Dan Wetzel and Stuart Mandel, some of the others that have already said this week that they think TCU isn't regardless.
My opinion on that would be, and I actually talked about that in the Southern Cal scenario. I said I could see both those teams winning by 14 to 20. The scenario where they get upset ain't them losing by three touchdowns. It's, you know, field goal off the upright or something. And so I think the scenarios that I could see them losing, I still think they get enough to get the bump. But you don't want to leave it up to that. And you've got an opponent you can't beat there, no doubt about it. Continuing, Ari Temkin, again, SiriusXM. College, Big 12 radio. All right, I want to ask you about Duggan in just a second, but let's skip to the perimeter. He got any receivers? Like, who's healthy out there, man? It's like it looked like the baptism scene in The Godfather. Like, one after another.
Yeah, I mean, that final couple of drives, not last week where they blew out Iowa State, but the week before in a really close contest. I mean, yeah, it's Max Duggan and not a whole bunch else. Kendre Miller, who's been their feature back all year, he missed that, you know, final couple of drives, but he's better and he'll be back for this game. Quentin Johnston's, you know, the big name. He's kind of had injury issues really over the last 5, 6, 7 weeks, so it's not something new that popped up for him. This is a guy that, you know, has the potential to be a first round draft pick. Just has all of the, you know, the size, the speed. Just kind of has all the things you look for in an NFL wide receiver. But has been hampered kind of through the majority of the season now with some injuries. You know, he didn't play last week, didn't play in the final couple of drives a couple of weeks ago, but I think he will give it a go in the Big 12 championship. I mean, this is a setting, obviously, where, you know, if you're not, you know, broken leg or whatever, like, you're going to play. And so I think Johnson will be the same. Darius Davis is their speedster. It's another guy that's missed some time. I think this is all hands on deck, and we'll see how healthy these guys are. But, you know, earlier in the season, I'm not sure that Max Duggan will be able to overcome injuries like that, but he's proven down the stretch of the season he can smell that finish line. And there's, to me, nobody more impressive in college football than Max Duggan. Obviously, Caleb Williams has put together some remarkable weeks, but what Max Duggan hasn't had, he doesn't have a Jordan Addison. You know, Quentin Johnson's been in on the lineup. That's his Jordan Addison, and he just hasn't had that consistently over the last, you know, 4 or 5 weeks of the season.
Okay, we're wrapping up. We got like a minute and a half left, so you can run with this a little bit. But now I want to go to Duggan. And this is not – I'm not, you know, saying treat the coach like a pinata, but why was he not the starter in August in week one? Like, what was it that they looked at and said he was a little bit short of Chandler Moore? Like, what was it?
It's a great question. You know, it's funny because today on today's show, this morning, we were talking about revisiting our preseason picks for, you know, who's going to win the conference and player of the year. And it was like, well, nobody could have predicted that Max Duggan, who's presumptively the player of the year, would be the player of the year. Not even his head coach, who picked Chandler Morris to be the starting quarterback. And so I think there was, a feeling like they knew Max Duggan's ceiling. Like he hit his ceiling and they knew what it was. I think with Chandler Morris, there's more of like a, hey, look at what he showed in the Baylor game last year. Like there's a much higher ceiling here. And obviously it was the wrong pick. So, you know, the us against the world mentality, nobody believed in us. It's like, yeah, it's not even your coach. You didn't believe in you guys either.
Downtown Athletic Club's pretty high ceiling. All right, brother. Appreciate your time, man. Thank you.
You too, Chuck. Be well, brother.
All right, Temkin, get him on Twitter at RA Sports. Again, SiriusXM, Big 12 Radio. So, yeah, that's what happened. Is that Chandler Morris, who this is an example. I'm not saying that this is a deciding factor. I'm just telling you. And this is what, like Chase Daniel. Remember Chase Daniel at Missouri? They got to be number one, I think, 1 week. Or number one! And then maybe they lost to OU. So you can, and Chase Daniel, I don't know if he was a Heisman final. He had really good college career. Chase Daniel, about 5'10". And he's so talented that he's been in the NFL. I bet you Chase Daniel has made $40 million. Not playing a whole lot. And he's not tall. But when you look sometimes at the physical dimensions and what's listed, Chandler Morris is listed as 6 foot 195. I don't believe that's accurate. And so when I was looking at the two quarterbacks and I had no other information than I've seen Max Duggan and he's played and he's kind of big and looks sort of NFL and I like turnovers, but yeah, you know, we can maybe one final go round and he's the upperclassman, he's a senior. And so it'll be a refined and the polished and the perfect version of Max Duggan. Well, he wasn't starting. Yeah. We're gonna go with a young guy. And we like what's maybe there. I'll say, well, this guy might play in the NFL, and this guy looks like, well, he doesn't. And then now Duggan gets the job, 29 touchdowns, 3 picks, and I don't know, Heisman finalist, winner, whatever it is you want to talk about. Just a fantastic season as he has his team in position to make the playoffs for the first time. Not only TCU, but the conference return to the playoffs. And as we said, the state of Texas getting the first ever representative. When it's not anything you would have ever expected.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
More college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Santa baby, just slip a
sable. All year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. Comes in handy this time of year. We have our final weekly updated playoff rankings. All we got next is seeds. These are rankings. Sunday ain't rankings. Sunday is like the golden ticket. And it really does appear that the one thing we have complained most about when it comes to the college football playoffs, brother, it's changed. Same old every other year. Well, no, it's not the same old anymore, and that's started to change. The four seed, which had been populated by Michigan State, Notre Dame, some other blue bloods that didn't represent well, it's now represented by maybe Cincinnati. It didn't represent well as the four seed last year. This year, I'm all about some TCU and some Southern Cal. I don't think either really matches up well against Georgia or Michigan. And that is still to be decided, folks. The one, the two, the location of the game, what color jersey you wear, all of that is important. I want to welcome on right now senior editor, Maize and Blue Review. It's part of that Rivals Network. It is Trevor McHugh. Trevor, how you doing on this Wednesday, brother?
Hey, doing pretty well. Haven't had many weekends better than the last one, so.
Yeah, and depending on age, there are some folks who, like, there could be students at Michigan who weren't alive the last time that happened, winning down in C-Bus and taking care of business at that level. I do want to just take a quick look back at what happened on Saturday. Where was that on your list of scenarios? And I'm not saying that as a funny thing. I'm saying, where were you thinking before kickoff, like, of all the things that could happen, when did you get to Michigan by three touchdowns?
Probably at the end of the game when it happened, right? Heading into it, I expected a close game. You know, I think 30-27 was the score I predicted. In terms of how the game started, Ohio State coming out firing, Michigan kind of trying to feel them out, hold that off, and then obviously making the second half adjustments to try and win the game. They've been doing that all year, so that wasn't shocking. But the fourth quarter where, you know, Michigan really leaned into them again at the end with the run game and ran away with, 22-point victory. Yeah, that wasn't on my bingo card. So,
I want to ask you specifically, because Jim Harbaugh does it his way, and they're explosive on offense. My gosh, they're explosive on offense. They were Saturday. He still likes to run the ball and play some defense. Now, I said coming into the season that Jim Harbaugh had to replace the greatest pass-rushing duo in program history. How is the defense, maybe is it different, but it's at least as good, if not better. How do you lose? You don't get better by losing Ajabo and Hutchinson. How are they better?
It's more of a committee approach. And they said that was going to be the case, the no star defense. And we're really seeing that, you know, Mike Morris has stepped up into the Hutchinson role. Is he Aiden Hutchinson? No. But when you pair him with guys like Iabioki, who's come on, Jalen Harrell, who's come on, Taylor Upshaw, who plays into the role, and then obviously more pressure coming from the inside with Mozzie Smith, Chris Jenkins, blitzes coming from converted wide receiver Mike Sainristil still. You know, everybody's kind of stepped up. And the key, too, is a lot of people, when Jesse Minter was hired, were like, oh, this is a Vanderbilt guy. It's not going to work. No, he was coming with the same scheme that got installed under Mike McDonald. And what we're seeing is year two of a defense that was successful last year with some of Minter's, you know, little pieces peppered in. And now he's a Broyles Award finalist for the job he's done this year with the Michigan defense.
And if they get two sacks on Saturday, which could happen, I mean, Purdue will, you know, try to go bombs away, or they may have to. They will wind up with as many sacks as last year's team, which just blows my mind. Let's talk about the matchup against McConnell and Braum. And I think that's fair to say. Let's talk about the matchup with McConnell and Braum versus the Michigan defense, because that's the chance. Come out and we hit the shot plays, and, hey, we're in this thing in the fourth quarter. Am I handicapping that the way you would?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Aiden O'Connell is a fantastic quarterback, and he's going to be the number one threat for the Michigan defense. You know, unfortunately, he's dealing with a family tragedy this week that's preventing him from practicing. It sounds like he is going to play. I hope he plays, because, you know, you want the best players to play. But, yeah, that's absolutely going to be the matchup. And as we've seen Michigan do last year and this year, and especially Saturday against C.J. Stroud, he's going to get his, right? They're going to give him, especially between the 20s. He's going to get his. But when it comes to the red zone and keeping them out of the end zone, that's where the Michigan defense game plan is going to be to shut them down. And they're not taking this game lightly. They're not looking ahead to the playoff and a potential national championship game. The beat Ohio drill is now the beat Purdue drill. And as we saw last year, there was no hangover from beating Ohio State. Michigan stomped Iowa in the Big Ten championship game. So I would anticipate this game is probably going to go similar in the way you would expect. But, yeah, Purdue's not going to lay over. They're going to put up a fight. But, you know, by the second half, we'll see what the adjustments are and if they're able to hang in.
We're wrapping up again. Trevor McHugh, senior editor, Maize and Blue Review, part of that Rivals Network. And you mentioned Aiden O'Connell. This is one of those things and I say this sometimes when it comes up, that we assume these are just kind of robots on our TV for 3 hours. He's got a family tragedy that he is away from the team. I'm just asking from, you know, like an accounting standpoint. Do you have any expectation? Everybody's inclination is he's there for the game on Saturday. Is that your understanding?
Yeah, and you know, we don't have a specific connection, but from the Purdue folks that we have spoken to, that is the expectation. And then, like Braum said, the team's just rallying to support him and, you know, hope he can go out there and have a good game. And then, again, that's what I would hope to see as well.
As far as Michigan, last thing about this matchup, I'm going to talk a little big picture with Harbaugh. The two deep for Michigan, any sort of, and I ask everybody this, you know, ahead of the big games, whether it's performance or injury, suspension, you know, ticked off the coach at practice, any adjustments of note that you would expect?
Yeah, I mean, the obvious one's going to be Blake Corum. I wouldn't expect him to play Saturday. I think at this point they're going to do what they need to do to get him ready for potential playoff games. When he put that first cut down, he didn't look right, and then the second cut, he pulled himself out of the game. So otherwise, they're kind of light in practice this week. We haven't heard too much, but I would expect a lot of the guys that were out or limited last week are going to play Saturday.
Yeah, Donovan looked like he could pick up the slack there.
He did all right.
Let's talk big picture, because do I have the time? Like, this is November of 2022. Am I remembering ahead of the 21 season, Harbaugh and Michigan kind of powwowed and he took a pay cut?
Yeah, 100%. You know, at the end of 2020, you know, the COVID shortened season, Michigan's 2-4. They're canceling their last few games, don't play against Ohio State. And the mood in Ann Arbor is not great. The fan base and probably a lot of people around the program were ready for a change. And Jim Harbaugh might have been as well. You know, they could have gone in a different direction with a new coach, but instead, Jim Harbaugh recognized that change needed to be made, and he made those changes, a complete staff overhaul. You know, he did some things in his own personal life to get himself better, and then bringing in this young, energetic staff and rebuilding a culture around, frankly, Aiden Hutchinson, Cade McNamara, those guys, he's completely flipped the switch here. And everything Michigan fans dreamed Jim Harbaugh could do at Michigan, we're in year 8. You know, maybe 2016 they thought it would happen, maybe 2018. But now in 2022, Jim Harbaugh has the Michigan program that everybody was hoping to see.
Okay. Now, again, I'm not trying to throw you a softball here, but I'm looking for insight because even though you're in Ann Arbor, I need to ask you about Michigan State. Ahead of the Ohio State game last year was when they announced that 10-year, $95 million thing. And my react, like, I saw Dabo got a 10-year and Jimbo got a 10-year and Kirby and whoever. I'm like, yeah, okay, I get it. Mel Tucker's the only one where I saw the 10-year deal and I was like, really? And then the Ohio State game was a disaster and all that. Just give me the view from afar. What is happening at East Lansing? Because it's not an option. He's your coach, man.
Yeah, I think, you know, they had an interesting coaching search, right? Tucker initially rejected them publicly, and then they went back and doubled a salary offer to bring him in. What Mark D'Antonio did was turn that program into at least what they believed was a landing spot and not a stepping stone, right? They're still burned by Nick Saban leaving for LSU. And I think when the rumors last season of Mel Tucker potentially being, you know, interested in the LSU job came up, they decided they weren't going to let that happen. The optics of it or whatever, Mel Tucker was their guy, and they were going to do whatever it took to keep him. And that involved getting two boosters involved that are covering a big chunk of his salary. So, you know, it looks like Kenneth Walker may have made them look like they were ahead of schedule last year, and now they took a step back this year. I think there is still some optimism around East Lansing MSU program that Tucker can turn things around and that maybe he needs a little bit more time, and they shouldn't have expected the quick turnaround they saw under Kenneth Walker. But, yeah, one more year and not beating Michigan, and the heel get turned up, but it'll be interesting to see how they move forward for sure.
22 years and they're not over the girlfriend dumping them?
That has been the vibe, I believe. Yeah, I mean, Saban was a big part of how Mel Tucker ended up at Michigan State. So there's no bad blood there, but they do not want to see a guy leave for LSU again, I can tell you
like,
that.
Okay, no, I see what you're saying, because there are teams that have traded up to, like, the first overall draft pick, and they draft a quarterback, and they get burned. And for, like, 20 years, the owner's like, nope, never again. And I'm like, no, you got to jump back in. If you know, you can't be that gun-shy for 2 decades, can you?
No, for sure. I mean, that's actually a really good analogy. Being here at Michigan, every time the Lions draft a wide receiver, people usually freak out because they're still thinking about Charles Rogers and Mike Williams, right? So, yeah, I mean, Michigan was down and they were up, and they wanted to keep it that way, and they hope to. And now, you know, Harbaugh's on the high end again, and they've got questions about Tucker, but they still have faith in him. But I think it's starting to get a short leash. We'll see.
All right, brother. We'll enjoy that semifinal playoff and maybe the national championship game as well. Thank you, Trevor.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Chuck.
Great stuff there, man. Appreciate his time. Dan, quality, senior editor at Maize and Blue Review. Again, that's Michigan Rivals site. And so I always like to get the view from cross state. And here's why. I have heard, and I used to like Florida State, for instance. I have heard Florida fans say all kinds of just angry things. This is just an example. I use my school, your school, Lane school. All kinds of things, good, bad, in the middle, about every single coach they've had in my lifetime. None of it's reliable. Now, I didn't say it's not accurate, because when you have really divergent opinions about Steve Spurrier, like one's in Buffalo, one's in Fort Lauderdale, like these opinions, like so far apart, Well, one of them is going to be correct, or the one in the middle is, whatever. All these opinions all over the place about head coaches at Florida. When I say it's not reliable, it doesn't mean it's not accurate. You should fire Ron Zook. No, give him a chance. Well, the fire Ron Zook crowd, yeah, you were probably right. But when I say you're not reliable, even though you may have been right, since you're a Florida fan, you're the last person I'm going to ask. Do you know, and again, if you want to apply this to Alabama, Auburn, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, the person to ask about should Florida keep its head football coach or not isn't a Florida fan, it's a Florida State fan. You'll always get the honest appraisal about where the program is. Ask a fan of the biggest rival. Knowles fan, you want him to fire Spurrier, or do you want Spurrier to leave? Yep. Ask a Knowles fan. You want Dan Mullen to get fired? Maybe not. What about Ron Zook? Nope. Will Muschamp? Nope. There's too many nopes. Urban Meyer? Yeah, good riddance to him. Flip it around. Florida fans. You hear FSU fans talk about, I heard about Mike Norvell. I heard Florida State fans griping about Mike Norvell. Not over the last 6 weeks, but I heard the griping about Mike Norvell. Dan, did they lose like all three of their games were in 15 days? Yeah, that three-game stretch in the middle. After the end of those three games, I heard complaining from the Florida State fans about Mike Norvell. Not because they don't know football or they're angry or impatient or anything else, because they're football fans of a major program that has national championship heritage. We lost three straight. Do we have the right guy? Well, you got the right guy. And so when I say we have divergent, like one and then 180 degrees away, we have that opinion too. When I say we have that from different Florida State fans, for instance, Mike Norvell, folks, 6 weeks ago we had that from the same Florida State fans. Did we realize that? It wasn't talk to, you know, Mike and talk to Steve. It was, no, just talk to Mike. I don't know, we have the right guy. Talk to Mike last Friday night about, I don't know, about 10:30. Oh, yeah, Mike, we got the right guy. So you can hear from the same. So they're not, they may be right, they're not reliable. Ask a UF fan. Hey, do the Noles have the right coach? Do you want them to keep Willie Taggart? Please, 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 please keep Willie Taggart. Mike Norvell? No. And even during, see, here's the thing. Here's why I say it's not reliable, Florida State fan. If you had a Florida fan that had been paying attention, casting an eye westward, and could give you a proper inventory of the Florida State program, just a fair evaluation about what's going on. If 6 weeks ago I would have said, hey, Florida fan, what do you think about Mike Norvell being the coach at Florida State? Do you think they have the right guy? Do you want him to stay, or would you like him to leave? I think the Florida fan who had been paying attention would have said, yeah, I'm kind of worried about that guy. I'm wary. I'm wondering. You looked at Willie Taggart, you didn't wonder. You're like, I hope he signs a 50-year extension. Florida State fan looked at Ron Zook, they didn't wonder. 50-year extension. Urban Meyer, quit. Ooh, he quit. Wait a minute, he's back? I thought he quit. Well, no, but he came back. Okay, he quit again? Is he going to stay? Okay, it looks like he's going to stay quit this time. That was always ask the rival fan base. And so the day that Michigan State signed Mel Tucker, I heard people playing clips from the press conference. I'm like, don't play that. Play the afternoon drive host in Ann Arbor. Does Ann Arbor have sports talk radio? Is it big enough to have a sports talk? Ask the afternoon drive host who talks Michigan football. Ask that fan base. Because I know that when it was announced, the Michigan fan base, they looked over at Ann Arbor or at East Lansing and was like, I hope he's there every day of the 10 years. Like I said, you're not dating, man. You're not even married. Like, you're married and you forgot the prenup. Cheaper to keep her. All right, we're going to take a break, wrap up this hour one next.
Now back to Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
You don't take this job if you're not built to want that. I really, really, really enjoy that type of game. And I have a great respect for Nick, and he and Miss Terry have been really good friends to us, too. But I hope they're a little nervous today.
I want to be a fan of a program that wins big games. There you go. And Hugh Freeze, if you're an Auburn fan, Hugh Freeze is a coach that you think, okay, he can deliver that. There was not as much confidence about Brian Harsin. I told everybody, I was like, Brian Harsin's a good coach. Doesn't mean he's the right coach. And he wasn't the right coach. But he's a good coach, and he's going to have success somewhere. He'll figure out how to spend some money and pass some time. Young man. And so maybe he decides he's going to take a different route. Do you remember Jake Plummer, the NFL quarterback? Jake the Snake from Arizona State. Do you know what Jake does now? Jake retired at like age 31 or 32. Okay, Dan, do you know what Jake Plummer does now? Dan did the universal sign for smokes weed, like held the little, you know.
I was actually doing wine, but that's Drew Bledsoe.
That's Drew Bledsoe that does the wine. I think Jake Plummer may do the weed. But he retired at like 32 to move to Idaho and play handball. He's like, yeah, I got my money. And so he's up there playing a squash or whatever. I'm not kidding. That Jake Plummer, Pro Bowl quarterback, I'm good. So sometimes people just don't, you know, I'm good. I'm going to take my money. I'm going to go not work. Hugh Freeze got introduced yesterday, and there was all manner of reaction to it. And there was one article that I read that got Nabias Wilborn. And I've known Nabias for probably 15 years. Really hard-working guy. Good writer, too, AL.com. And so Nabias had an article, What We Did and Didn't Learn from Hugh Freeze's Introductory Press Conference at Auburn. Because he talked yesterday, and a big part of it was, I'm going to earn your trust. Let me earn your – give me the chance to earn your trust, et cetera. And so that's it. That was the gist about what most people were concerned about. What kind of man is he? What's he going to say about this? Is he going to address stuff? So he had, let me earn your trust. Please give me that chance. So Nabias writes an article with the headline, and the authors, the writers normally don't write the headlines, but What We Did and Didn't Learn from Hugh Freeze's intro press conference at Auburn. I'm going to tell you, I don't need to read that. Here's the part we didn't learn, how it turns out. That's all. What we didn't learn from the press conference is the only thing that really matters, how it turns out. He said a bunch of stuff, folks. They could have introduced me to be the head coach, like the head volleyball coach. And I don't know anything about volleyball. Is it six aside? Yeah, Dan's going, okay, they could hire me to be the volleyball coach, and I could have made it through a great press conference yesterday. I have the orange and blue tie already. I've got one that when you pull it, it plays the fight song. But even if you don't have that one, it's a Christmas gift. Everybody gets the matching tie, and you show up. I could go to the press conference and sell you the press conference. Well, was that a good hire to lead the volleyball program? He doesn't know anything about the sport. But it wouldn't be a bad hire until it turned out bad. So with Hugh Freeze, like when you hired Harsin, we were thinking, is it going to turn out good or bad on the field? With Hugh Freeze, is it going to turn out good or bad on the field? Off the field. Speaking of off the field, anywhere in the footprint of the Chuck Oliver Show, go there to a Hooters. And I'm talking about maybe the same Hooters you entered into the conference championship game tickets contest with Hooters and Dr. Pepper. Well, we awarded that winner. A listener, I think from Jackson, Mississippi. Is that right? Jackson, Mississippi. Sup. Maybe it's the Lucky Hooters. So a listener, Jackson, Mississippi Hooters, entered on the TV screen there. And maybe hashtagged out drinking a Dr. Pepper, Hootersville, and you got another entrant. And so you got the conference championship game tickets and the hotel stay. Well, anywhere in the footprint, you can go do that exact same thing. So this time it's the semifinal game in Atlanta at the end of the month. Two tickets to the game, hotel stay. You get to Atlanta, boom, taken care of. Enter at a Hooters. Somewhere in the footprint, they're all the same, man. You walk in, TV screen, enter with your phone, get the extra entrant with the hashtag Hootersville, and you may join us in Atlanta for that ball game.
It's what we do as fans to what you're talking about right there in terms of, you know, whenever a coaching hire is made, you're going to have a large swath that says, oh, I love it. You're going to have the other swath that wants to be in some people's minds, the devil's advocate here of, oh, look what they did in these games. Look what they do in recruiting. Look what they do with all of these other things. It's no matter the name is, nobody is ever going to go to the press conference and say, everybody's in unison. We love this guy.
Yeah, that doesn't happen, especially at the level that Auburn is used to being and where they are now.
This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch. With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination. And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
So, Robert, I want to thank you for your time. I just don't think you're the right person for this position.
I don't understand. Was it something I said?
Well, we did a background check on you and found some things of concern.
If you're in charge of hiring for your company, you know how helpful a background screening can be. That's why companies that use Horizon Background Screening make smarter hiring decisions. Don't let the wrong hire put your company at risk. Get the real story on your candidates at horizonscreening.com. Horizonscreening.com.